please, to 2 Thessalonians, book of 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians in chapter number 2. Back some time ago, I'm not sure how long ago, I preached a message out of this chapter about mysterious things in the world today. But that's not the route I'm going tonight. I feel like this is what God have us to do this evening. And, of course, I didn't preach this morning. And I really struggled about that message, preaching it tonight, but God did not give me liberty to do so. So we'll go here tonight. We feel like it's God's will. Brother Bill's kidding me after service this morning, said, don't bother you, didn't get to preach. I said, he got to tell me about a fellow who's going to teach Sunday school class, and people got testifying, and it got good, and they just kept on testifying, praising God, and got through. The teacher that's supposed to teach that Sunday, he said he didn't like it because he had a lesson prepared and he wanted to teach. And then Brother Bill told me, you know where the man is now, you heard? He's in jail. That sounds like somebody need to be in jail. Amen. I tell you what, it don't make any difference where I preach or somebody else preaches or testifies or sings or praises God. Just so God has his way, he's magnified, he gets glory, I'll be happy as a lark. Amen. I enjoyed myself this morning. The fact is, I needed that. I needed it desperately. And God so wonderfully gave us what we needed. I praise him and thank him for it. Somebody said one time about the Lord, said he's bad for that. And he sure is. Just give us just exactly what we need when we need it. He's always on the throne, always able, do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. I'm like Brother Tim. I don't know why, since I come in the building tonight, getting hoarse. And so I pray God to help us tonight. You pray for us. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, stand please while I read the Word of God. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because that they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who would not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, God even our Father, hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. That's reading the entire chapter, second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you tonight for the singing of the songs and what we have heard and felt in our hearts throughout the day, how good you have been to us. And we bow our heads and say, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. I thank you for the victory that you give. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. It's real. I thank you for salvation that you bought for us at Calvary. And thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. And thank you for the great promise that you're coming again. I pray tonight you'd help us to preach. And I pray for that divine touch of God. And I do ask you to remove every hindering cause. And I pray tonight the Holy Spirit have his way in my heart, my mind, illuminate and saturate. And I pray, God, touch me to preach. Then touch the hearts of this waiting congregation. Lord, you know every person that's here. There's families that's hurting. There's people that's struggling. There's situations where the disappointment has come. There's things that folk are trying to work and see you do. And so I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Spirit would help all of us. And maybe those here tonight that's lost and without God, I pray you'd bring them under conviction. I pray for those who may be here and they're out of the will of God, and they need that joy restored. I pray for them, and I pray you draw us all closer to you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on this subject: what must take place? What must take place? First and Second Thessalonians, both our main theme of those two books, is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look with me, please, back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Look in chapter 2 and verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Chapter 3 and verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Look in chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now let me pause there to say this. Now I'm going to read a few verses here that tells us about the coming of the Lord. And that's second, we're talking about rapture now. We're talking about when he comes in the air to take us out of here in this portion of scripture. He said, not having to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, we sorrow not as those that have no hope. He's talking about those who have passed on by the way of the grave and have gone on. We don't sorrow like those which have no hope. We have hope. I'm glad we have hope. Amen. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. They have been buried bodily, but spiritually, in spirit and soul, has gone on to glory. And Jesus said, when I come back, I'm bringing soul, spirit with me when he comes back. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that word means go before, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to say hallelujah and praise God for the great promise that we have of that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The next great thing about to happen on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. His second coming is in two parts. He comes in the air, raptures out the church, takes us out, resurrects those who have died in Christ, brings back their soul, spirit, and bodies resurrected, reunited, and then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and then caught up together, meet our loved ones in the clouds and the Lord in the air. I say hallelujah. He is coming back. He is coming back. This is not fairy tale stuff, and this is not something we concocted or made up. It is true Bible doctrine that Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. And today we're living in a day, in a glorious time, a privilege God has let us live for such a time as this. And you and I had better be alert to the time that we're in, because it's a blessed time. Somebody said, I'd like to have been living when Jesus came the first time. I believe I'm living when Jesus is going to come the second time. Hallelujah. And this time he's not coming to die. He's coming to resurrect. And he's already resurrected himself. He's going to resurrect us, as it were. If we're alive, it's going to be a resurrection in our, because we're going to be changed and have that glorified body just like those who are resurrected from the dead. Well, let me give you another verse. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. A thief don't call you up and say, now I'm coming tonight about 12 o'clock at your house, and so I just wanted to call and tell you. He said, I'm coming like a thief in the night. A thief comes when he thinks you're not expecting him. He comes in such an hour as you think not. And the Son of Man is coming. Our world's not looking for him. He's just a few folk the first time he came that was looking for him. He's just a few folk the second time that's going to be looking for him. But thank God he's coming anyway. He is coming. Praise his name. And hallelujah for him. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7 and 8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see now in chapter 2, we got more about the coming of the Lord. We see it throughout these two books. That'll be enough saying about that. But it is a theme of these books, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And intermingled in this is the first part and the second part. I want you to look in verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's when he comes, the second part of the second coming. That's when he sets his feet down upon Mount Olives. That's when he comes to establish a kingdom. He destroys the Antichrist. He comes and takes his place as king, as sitting on the throne of David, and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, I shall be with him, and the lamb will lay down with the lion, and lion going to eat straw like an ox, and what a day that shall be. I say hallelujah. Won't be any poisonous snakes to hurt anybody. Hey, won't be any trouble like that. I say, won't it be a beautiful world, be in a world like that. I say glory to God. And the lamb. Now, hang with me just for a few moments, and I'm just going to try to give you this. Now, look back in verse number 4. I'm still in introduction. I'll get to what I'm saying in just a moment. I am going somewhere with this. I'm talking about the rapture of the church, coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and some things that must take place. But included in this now is the second part also. I want you to understand that for some things that I'll say. But look at verse 4 of chapter 1. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now they were being persecuted in such a manner that they, some believe, were now in tribulation period. They thought now they were living in that time, and they were looking for Jesus to come and set up his kingdom, and they were wrestling with that. And so Paul had been writing to them under inspiration of the Holy Ghost to tell them that that's not yet. There's some things that must happen before he can set up his kingdom upon this earth. And so let me give you just four things I see in this chapter quickly tonight. And I get excited thinking about it. We're living in days that I never thought really I'd see some things I'm seeing today. I never dreamed as a boy I'd see some things I'm seeing today. But I do know one thing, that prophecy is being fulfilled day by day. Rapidly are we seeing prophecy fulfilled, and rapidly are we coming to the time that Jesus Christ is going to come in there, and then it's going to come and manifest himself on the earth. Hey, this world is not going to get by. It's not going to keep going like it is. There's going to be an intervention one day, and it's not going to be by the government. It's not going to be by some power on earth that's going to solve all the problems and all the situations. And I heard somebody talking about Israel. I believe I heard it on a radio program somewhere. But anyway, they was talking about Israel and the United States and how we've been a friend to them, and about what the Bible says about being their country. And the person made a remark like this and said, we as a government have to take care of the government of the world as we see it, and not worry about that part. If God gave it to him, then let God take care of his own business. I wanted to cry out and say, he will. He will, don't you worry. He'll take care of his business. And what he promised he'll do, just as sure as I'm standing where I'm standing tonight, God will do everything that he said he would do. Now, number one, I want you to notice this. What must take place? First of all, apostasy must take place. Look in verse number 3. Of a text I read. Let no man deceive you by any means. And they've been talking, many men bringing false doctrine to them, and they've been deceived. And even some wrote a letter that's supposed to have been from Paul that wasn't. And so he's writing straight and said, now let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And apostasy, the word itself, means a falling away. He says it's not going to come unless there be a falling away first. I want to say to you tonight, there is a falling away today. Hey, we don't have to wait to see that day come. We're seeing a falling away today. And our churches are not moving closer and closer to God. He's a falling away from God. Our country's not moving closer to God. We're falling away from God. And our world's not moving closer to God. It's falling away from God. And we can rest assured of the fact that prophecy is being fulfilled right now in our day. It would seem to me like the mess that we're in, that people would look to God for help. But that's not the case. They're looking everywhere else and trying to think, we can solve this and this will be the answer. Hey, the only answer we have is a blessed return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming, hallelujah. I'm not preaching a doomsday message to you that there's no hope. I'm telling you, no hope as far as man's concerned. There is hope in Jesus, though. And you can rest on that one. I've fallen away. Look with me, please, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. Well, let's back up verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And we were seeing that. In the latter days some depart from the faith. That's happening. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He said there are going to be some have a form of the power of God, but said it's not real. And we're seeing that in our day. But I'm glad around here, praise God, and this morning it got so real and so thick. As Brother Mace Jackson said, you have to have a spiritual seeing eye dog to get around in it. Amen. I like it like that. I say praise God for it. I'm glad for real stuff. What happened around here today was not something we planned out. We didn't have a praise team come on the scene and get it started. It wasn't anything like that. It just simply God showed up and God began to manifest himself and began doing something for us. And it got so real in our hearts. We couldn't stand it. Some folks just got letting God have his way. God got to doing some things. And I say hallelujah and praise God. And even tonight in the singing songs, it's been good. Our hearts have been blessed and touched in the praying and taking in everything. Amen. Brother McIntosh got up here and prayed and stirred my soul. Amen. A choir was a singing. I looked around at Errol and you can't help but hear her. Is she behind? In fact, you don't have to be sitting in front of her to hear her. But she was a singing. I looked around, just grinned at her. I'm glad, praise God. I'd like to find my grandchild back there. I like it, amen. And I say praise God. But the thing about it is she's singing with a smile because she loves Jesus. Amen. Other choir members, I looked over and saw them. They just smiling and saying, you know why? Because they love Jesus. And Sister Roland over there, every once in a while, she gets excited and raises her. Others up there raise their hand. You know why? Because they love Jesus. And I say, praise God. That's real stuff. That's real stuff. And what we're preaching tonight is real stuff. I'm not giving you some make you feel good thing tonight and tell you you deserve something good and something good going to happen to you. By in the morning, something bad may happen to you. What's going to happen to you? I know who's on the throne. I know who's got it in control. And I know who's running this show. And I say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to him that reigns forever. Amen. And praise God. I'm glad I'm privileged to preach tonight. Amen. I thank God for that. But we're talking about things that's real. We're talking about what must happen. Our world's wringing its hand. How are we going to fix this? How are we going to fix that? And I tell you, they'll make a stab at it. But I want you to know tonight, we don't have to wring our hands. Hey, some things have to happen. They're going to happen. It's prophecy, and God's word will be fulfilled. But he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In the midst of all that we're in, we could just still today have a shouting time. Still today we could weep. And I was glad for the weeping. I was glad for the praise. I was glad for getting right with God. I was glad for what God did in my own heart. I was glad for the challenge of my own life. I'm glad. Amen. It's all real. And I thank God for that. But there'll be a falling away. And there is going to be a falling away. And if you're not careful, you get caught up in the falling away. And some is more than testified. Brother Tom gave a great testimony and telling about how God worked in his heart. And Brother Johnson made a statement that probably all of us could have said about the same thing, word for word, that we have let ourselves grow cold, and we've let ourselves not pray like we ought, and not get involved like we ought, not do, and sometimes just go through the form, but don't really have anything down deep in our hearts that's real about it. Amen. And I'm guilty. I confess to you. That happens to me. I believe it happens to everybody sometime if you've been saved any length of time. But, oh, praise God. I'm glad it's real, though, to know Jesus. And I'm glad we're in a place where the Word of God's preached. I'm glad we're in a place where they sing for the praise of God. I'm glad we're in a place where my brothers and sisters enjoy getting together and being, amen, encouraging each other. I'm glad we're in a place where people can come, and when God gets them moving, they can get right with God. Amen. Thank God for all of it. But they's a falling away today. And it's happening. And we need to be very careful about that. Look in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. That is, there's going to come a time that they'll just want somebody to tell them what they want to hear, and they're just going to be satisfied with that. Tickling ears mean pleasing to them. And when somebody's telling you all the time that everything's going to be good and that you're good and you're everything's right and just look to God and smile and go on. Well, that all sounds good, but there's some trials to go through. There's some battles have to be fought. There's some situations we have to face. But we grow in those times if we'll let God help us grow. In those times. Now, number two, don't you see this? Antichrist must come to power. Now, I'm not talking about come to power before the rapture of the church. I'm talking about come to power before he sets up his kingdom. He must come to power. Look in verse 3 of my text again. Latter part of that verse. Except there come a falling away first, then the next thing he says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That is the Antichrist. And of course, Judas is called the son of perdition, empowered by Satan. And so the Antichrist also will be empowered by Satan. Look at verse number, well, let's read number 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is, as God saith in the temple of God, shown himself that he is God. He, in the tribulation period, in the mid of tribulation period, will declare himself to be God. He's going to require worship. You see, the people will never follow that. You'd be surprised why people follow when they get desperate. Verse 5, remember you not? And when I was yet with you, I told you these things. He said, now remember, I've been teaching you these things, telling you about it. That he's not coming to set up a kingdom right yet, because apostasy got to come, falling away, he's got to come. And the last church age, the Laodicean church said to be lukewarm. And you and I have to confess we're living in that day. And then he said that Antichrist is going to have to come to power. And our world right now is setting up for the Antichrist to come to power. And some already have made a cry and said, give us a man, whether it be God or devil, give us a man that can lead us and get us together and bring peace. Hey, I'm telling you, there'll be such a man come on the scene, and he'll cry, peace, peace. And it looks like he's going to bring peace, solve the Israel a situation, their situation, and the world situation, know how to solve the economy and get all everything working right. He's going to make some great promises. Look like he's doing great. He's going to come in deceiving people, but thank God I'll be gone. Amen. Hey, know that. Because when the Antichrist comes to power, God's going to pour out his wrath. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. You find the rapture of the church after this. What? After what? After the rapture of the church. He said, after this, I saw a door open in heaven. I heard the voices of a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither. And said, and I'll show you things which must be hereafter. And said, verse number 2, and immediately I was in the spirit. That's rapture. That's when Jesus comes. Then he has a scene in heaven, chapter 4, chapter 5. And then in chapter 6 of Revelation, as a white horse comes, a rider on it, has a bow but no arrows. That's not Christ Jesus. That's the Antichrist. He's coming. Like Christ, he's the Antichrist crying, peace, peace. And he's going to come like that. And oh, but glory to God, 7 years about that time later, there's going to be one come out of heaven riding on a white horse crying, peace, peace. And there will be peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. But this Antichrist got to come to power first. Our world's getting shaped up for him to come, because our world is struggling now to find that help that we need. Is it going to be tomorrow? He's coming, preacher. May come tonight. Is it going to be next week? May come tonight. Will it be 7 years from today? Maybe. Will it be 10 years? Maybe. I don't know when he's coming. I just know these things have to come. Apostasy are falling away. The rapture of the church has to take place. And the Antichrist got to come to power. And God's wrath is going to be poured out. That restrainer has to be removed. Look at verse number 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. What withholdeth? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Who is he? Who is he? And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, etc. And who's the he? He's talking about he must be removed and he must be taken out of the way. I tell you who he is. He is the Holy Spirit of God that lives in our hearts. That's in the church. And when the church is raptured out, he will be taken out. You talk about things being in a mess today. You wait till the Holy Spirit, the church. You wait till the church is gone. They laugh at the church today. They make fun of the church. They think we're old-fashioned, that we're so out of touch and we're out of date, that we don't need this today. That's what the world's saying. And this crowd like we are tonight, they don't need us. They say that. They don't think they do. But you wait till we're taken out of the way. Holy Spirit taken out, and he is taken out. Only he who now lives will let until he be taken out of the way. The evil will only go so far as God will let it go. And I know it's gone a long way. I know it's gone way out there, in fact. But one day when that restrainer is gone, that Holy Spirit, he lives within us, and the church is taken out of here. You talk about evil being prevalent. You talk about ungodliness and filth. You talk about everything being turned loose. It's going to be turned loose in that day. And people will be falling after sin and going after the man of sin. And you and I will be over in glory shouting hallelujah. And I say glory to God. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. I'm not going to be around. I'm not pointing to wrath. I'm pointing to the grace of God. Thank God for that. Amen. What a joy that is. What a joy am I anyway. I got a text somewhere in here. If I can find it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you see all this, when this restrainer is removed, and he will be. But let me say this, fourthly. The church must be completed. We're not going to leave out of here till the last one gets saved. Think about that. Hallelujah. Somewhere tonight, that last one may come in and we head out of here. Hallelujah. That last one make up the church is never going to go out till she's completed. Jesus calling him out a bride, and you rest assured he's not going to leave a fingernail off. He's not going to leave anything off that bride. Everyone's ever supposed to be in that bride's going to be in it. And we're going to head out of here now. Don't call me a hyper-Calvinist because I said that. I believe that God's in control. I believe man has a choice. But the church will be completed. And maybe tonight. And we'll head out of here and go home. What a glorious thought that is. I want you to look with me, please. In verse 9 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That rapture will take place. We will head out of here. And we're not appointed to the wrath of God. In Revelation chapter 6, I talk about that Antichrist coming. And you'll follow chapter 6 and then rest of chapter through Revelation to get to chapter 19 when Jesus comes back, begins to move in the direction of coming back on there. You'll find that it's all about judgment on this earth. Wrath of God being poured out. There'll be some saved. That 144,000 be preaching now out of the Jewish nation. There'll be some saved. And 144,000 not Jehovah's Witness either. Amen. It's Jewish people that be saved and be called to preach and be going out around the world preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will take place. That must take place. And you can rest assured tonight everything I've said will take place before Jesus sets up his kingdom. But what I'm really driving at tonight is the apostasy, the falling away, and realizing the fact that we've got to get out, the Holy Spirit has to be removed before the Antichrist can come to full power, and that he is going to come to power in our world tonight is moving toward the one world government. Everything's setting up, getting ready. But praise God, we're getting ready to leave out. Don't get your eyes off the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do, you get discouraged. You'll get messed up. You'll get cold and indifferent. But if you keep looking for Jesus to come, the up looks looking bright, looking better every day. Thank God. John closed out the book of Revelation and said, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Even so come quickly. He got so excited what Jesus was showing him was going to come. He said, do it quickly. Come on. That's exactly how you and I ought to be. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to open the Word of God, look into it, and see these things that you said must come before that the kingdom is set up on this earth. And Father, we realize the rapture has to take place, and we must get out. The Holy Spirit must escort us out of here. So I pray tonight you'd help us all to think seriously about this. And Father, maybe somebody here tonight's unsaved, not ready to go, needs to get saved. Maybe somebody tonight that needs to just let you have your way. Maybe somebody need to pray for somebody else. But have your way in the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Let's sing, Brother Tim. If you need to come for any reason, now is your opportunity to come. Find your place and pray. Talk to God. Ask God to help you. If you need to come, you come. Jesus is coming. He's going to take us out of here. Sure, I'm standing where I'm standing. This could very well be the last message I'll ever preach. Could very well be the last message out of this pulpit. Could very well be the last time you'll sit in church. Could be. What if it was? What if it's the last time Jesus was, you knew that he's coming? What would you do in this invitation? Whatever it is you do, do it now. Let's sing.